The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
It's our bowl edition of K4 Wins. Go to K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Why is it K4? Because we got four K's here. Case Kiefer, he's the executive director, editor, you name it, for the Las Vegas Sun. He knows what he's doing when it comes down to handicapping. He's out there at Ground Zero in Las Vegas right now. Kip Kiefer, of course, he is all over the radio, just like Howard Stern. He is the master and the king of all media, including, of course, his television show on ABC 3340, which I'm very, very happy to be part of on Saturday mornings, ABC 3340. He is down there on the lower right-hand side. Of course, we also have Kai Gregory, who has been doing handicapping for like 35 or 40 years, pretty much plays both sides, knows exactly what's going on. I'm Tony Curry, of course, worked at ESPN, done sports radio for 20 years. That's why we call it 4K Wins. We want to do a couple extra shows during this bowl season because so far, I'd say the first four bowl games, not exactly riveting, not fun to watch. By the way, the favorites 9-2 against the spread in the first 11 games. Over-unders, overs going at a 4-7 clip. And we also have some Christmas NBA we're going to get into in just a little bit. We've got our next four games, got Penn State, Boise State, Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon, and Notre Dame only catching a point against the Georgia Bulldogs. We got some really interesting lines coming up. First, Case, I'll start with you. What do you think about the first four ball games? I was just looking for something that wasn't a blowout. I was kind of bummed out, to be honest with you.
Oh man, you had to go with me with this one. I'm not going to make any friends with this take. The games were bad. But you know what's worse are the reactions. I can't believe people haven't learned to not overreact to one game here or there. I say it every year and it goes against someone different. I felt really strongly about three of these games. If you remember last week, I know I said I bet Tennessee, which I super regret to do. You can roll back the tapes. You can listen. I said I didn't really like that. I just probably should have never bet it. But I loved Notre Dame, SMU, and Texas. I said Texas would win by 14. They won by 14. I had Notre Dame 31-21, 27-17. SMU plus 8.5. I mean, the first four drives, that game is anyone's game. SMU is going up and down the field. They throw two pick sixes, and it changes everything. They get blown out. I don't regret that bet at all. If they play again tomorrow, am I betting plus 8.5? No, probably not. But it's going to be like 13. I take plus 13. I don't understand how people can't get it through their heads. Like, it's one game. We don't need to jump off the ledge. Okay, what was the average scoring margin of these games? I think it was 19. Mm-hmm. What's the average scoring margin of all the college football semifinals? We had 14, 18.5. Mm-hmm. That was at neutral sites. I know we had some good games, you know, maybe last year, 2 years ago. So now people think that the games are always good. This is college football. There's always blowouts. And I all the talking heads is driving me crazy. We're supposed to like get, again, I'm not making any friends here. I know this is an Alabama-based show. We're supposed to get down on our knees and lick Alabama's boots. You know who played worse than in any of these games was Alabama against a much worse Oklahoma team. Three losses. I mean, I just the reaction to these games is just completely puzzling to me. Sometimes you think you're losing your edge when you have a bad week or two in gambling. I think it's natural. I think I'm good at dealing with the swings, but then when I see how people just completely overreact to, you know, one game, or, you know, this is a weird sport where we're playing with like a spherical pigskin. Weird things happen. Blowouts happen all the time. the markets go crazy based on these things that happen in, you know, a 60-minute span. It's just insane to me. Everyone just needs to calm down. There's going to be good games eventually. The Alabama love is just completely perplexing to me. I mean, talk about a quarterback that struggled with turnovers and killing their team this year. I mean, you got blown out at Oklahoma worse than any of these teams statistically did, except maybe Tennessee, who, by the way, actually beat you. So, yeah, I'm probably going to get canceled on the Alabama airwaves now. And I've been pro Alabama in the past. I thought they should have made it last year. They get every benefit of the doubt usually. They earned it usually. They didn't earn it this year. Get over it. The field was fine. We didn't get anything different than we normally get. There's a big gap of talent in the top teams in college football, and it happened once again this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I want to start the show. Kip, I know that we were going back and forth on text a little bit, and you certainly had some things to say about SMU, and you had a lot to say about the committee going in. Listen, it's difficult to be in this committee. It really is, because from week in to week out, you really don't know who's going to win what, because you're talking about
especially when you don't do any work or exactly. Look at any data exactly. Or watch the games.
We're still gambling on a 17 and 18-year-old, so I try to remind myself of that. The only thing that I will say this is it just just seemed like every game was a blowout right from the get-go. And I think that was the big surprise. I was sitting there watching the Clemson game with my son, and hell, they made it a 7-point ball game, and I had the ball twice, had a chance to actually tie it up, and they were down big time in that ball game. But what were your initial thoughts, Kip, on the first four ball games? Because we got four more coming.
Well, I like the idea of the on-campus sites, but when you have teams that really, frankly, should not have been in the field and they're playing on the road, it was just a waste of time. The Indiana, the very first game, the NFL is so much better at marketing than college football. To make Indiana Notre Dame the marquee first ever primetime college football playoff game was just absurd. Indiana was just the most undeserving team to be in that field. If you look at their record, they won, they played the six teams of the six teams in the Big Ten that did not qualify for bowls. They played and beat five of them. They didn't play three or four that they didn't play Illinois or Oregon or Iowa. The only legitimate game they played was Ohio State. And just like I said on that show, they won't be competitive in that game because they're just not any good. Cignetti, coach of the year. Well, good job, Cignetti. You beat Purdue and Northwestern. I'm sorry if I'm hardcore on this, but that was just a tremendous opportunity loss for college football. None of those games, not a single one of the four games, were competitive at all. Maybe 19 points was the average spread, but anybody watching those, Indiana tacked on two touchdowns at the end where it meant nothing. Clemson did give a good effort, but they've got some pedigree. That one figured to be pretty good, but I just was really disappointed, and I think it just got the whole expanded playoff era off to a bad start by having teams that frankly just didn't belong, and on the road to boot, they just weren't even competitive games.
I don't see where this year is going to be any different than any other coming year. I just don't. I think the differences are just too big between 1-4 and 4-12 and 8. And I really don't. Kai, you can crystallize this thought for me. I think we're going to have blowouts from here on out every single round, every single year, because there is such a huge difference between the top two or three teams. And of course, you're talking about the 10th, 11th, the 12th team. We wanted to get more teams involved in so the fan bases could be involved in it and make more money for the sport. And it's working. And that's exactly what's happening. Kai?
Anybody know what I'm doing right here? Sure. I'm beating a damn dead horse.
Yeah.
The games are over. Tennessee, nobody said Tennessee didn't belong. They got beat the worst out of anybody.
Absolutely.
They sucked. They weren't going to go on the road and win. They had no chance. I feel sorry for the 35,000 ball fans that drove to Ohio to watch that, especially after seeing everything. I think it's great that you're on campus, but it is more proof that it is a huge, huge advantage being on campus in that situation. Whether the teams belong or not is even inconsequential. I'm looking forward to some bowl games that don't matter to anybody kids on the field and yes, people that bet on them.
There you
who
go.
Who knows who's going to play?
We got a game on the 24th, 3 on the 26th, 5 on the 27th. We'll be doing another show hopefully this Friday morning just in time for those five bowl games, the most bowl games on the 27th. I do want to look at the Sugar, the Rose, and of course the Fiesta and the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Those are our next round of games. And of course, I love seeing these lines. I'm going to start with Case because, Case, I know you have your own lines going in. 11-14, 2.5, -1.5. That, of course, the lines being for Penn State, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia. How close were you on your four games you looked at?
Really close. I will say I usually run like I put a lot more stuff in for my line when I'm betting, and I haven't done that yet, but I put my my first reaction, which was mainly just my mental model. I think it said in betting circles, but they were all pretty much spot on. You'll probably be shocked to learn I haven't bet on any of these games. Now we're also at the point where I'm weighing a lot of futures equity and my portfolio. So I'm not necessarily going to jump on all of them, but I think every single game was within a point and a half. There's nothing sides wise, and I haven't looked at the totals yet, but there's nothing sides wise that super jumped out to me here. I'm a little surprised. I mean, I know I saw some reactions the other way, but all leading into last week, all these games were up and Notre Dame was the favorite all week. I thought Notre Dame handled their business. To see them flip to the underdog, I guess if there's one that surprised me a little bit, it's there. I just, I don't know how confident I can be in Gunnar Stockton, but I probably won't have anything on that game because I have Georgia futures to win the title. And then last week, I think I gave it out on the starting lineup. I bet some Notre Dame futures to make the semifinals and the championships. I like their path. So I kind of have win-win. Either way, I have something alive in this game. But that's the one that's kind of surprised me. I guess I shouldn't be surprised Ohio State took a lot of early money. If this gets to three, I would like Oregon. Right now, Ohio State -2.5. My first reaction, I made it Oregon -1. I think it's a really good game. You can make a case they're the two best teams at their peak, but if either side got to three, I'd be interested in taking the points.
And Kip, this is starting to remind me a little bit of March Madness, only in that, you know, we have a playoff system here, so you're going to have to win more than one ball game. And it's amazing because I can remember like my Xavier Musketeers several years back were like a 16-point dog going into the first round. They win, and of course they start winning, and next thing you know, they're a 3-point dog at Duke, and they almost beat Duke. And as they get better and better and better, and you're starting to see teams like that. Penn State, an 11-point favorite in the second round, and you got Notre Dame only 1.5 to Georgia. I know Georgia's doesn't have their quarterback, but Notre Dame quietly is getting it done. I mean, this is a team that I just do not like to bet on for obvious reasons. I don't like the Golden Domers, but man, they're getting it done. They really are.
Well, if you watch the last game of the regular season, USC lit their ass up. That's just the way I'm going to say it. USC went up and down the field, scored points at will. Notre Dame outscored them because the USC defense, which everybody hailed the first of the year, was much improved. This just in, they were not much improved. It's the same old Lincoln Riley crap. People are saying, well, Notre Dame's running game is so dominant in their offensive line. Texas ran for 290 yards against Clemson. In two games against the Georgia defense, Texas has not gone over 50 yards total in either one of those games. I think the Notre Dame hype is just that. I think they've got some legitimate players, but I don't think Riley Leonard's going to beat you throwing the football. I think they have to run the ball, and I think Georgia matches up extremely well against them in a low scoring kind of game. I don't think they're going to cut Gunnar Stockton loose, but he creates a dynamic that Carson Beck doesn't bring. He showed you his ability to make plays with his legs in the Texas game. They had 260 more yards in Gunnar Stockton's half than they had in Carson Beck's half. So I'm not going to sell out Georgia here for the Gunnar Stockton factor. I think in some ways it could even be a slight advantage, not taking anything away from Beck, because he is a pinpoint passer, had a rough year. That wasn't all his fault. A lot of times it was pressure or receivers running the wrong routes or dropping the football. But I don't think Gunnar Stockton is that big a step back.
I remember when Carson got the lead against Alabama late in that ball game, and all they were talking about was, this is his Heisman Trophy moment. This is his moment. This is his moment. And I'm thinking, and of course, every time I look at the guy, he looks like he's stoned. He's got the stoner look with the eyeballs. I just can't help myself to look at a guy like that and say, that's my leader. He's a stoner. Kai, I think it's really interesting, too. We have a rematch, too, between Oregon and Ohio State, and obviously Oregon got the best of the Buckeyes 32-31 early in the season. Here they come back in as a 2.5-point dog. What have you seen between these two teams since the first time they played?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think anybody in the country was going to beat Ohio State Saturday night. I really don't. The way they play.
If they play like that.
If anybody can beat them, it'll be Oregon again. I'm taking Oregon. I don't care if Oregon's favored. Either way, I think part of that is because Ohio State just beat the balls like a redheaded stepchild. Maybe that's what it is. But, those I'll get to more later next week as we get to those games, because, you know, I'm sitting here watching Coastal Carolina and UTSA, and they're exhilarating 0-0 at the end of the first quarter game, where neither one of them has a first down, where the 14th string quarterback is throwing to his little brother.
You're the only one watching UTSA and thought I had a good bet, but they look terrible. Last thing is, I know Kai's chomping at the bit to move on. Actually, it seems like Kip and I see the game a lot differently, but I really agree with one thing he said about Georgia Notre Dame. I lean Notre Dame in the game. I don't need to make it any big secret, but I do agree that it increases the variance for Georgia. I mean, there's a chance that they run away with this with Gunnar Stockton, that maybe they have a higher ceiling. But my thing is with Georgia, who's been the best program in college football in the last 5 years, I don't want bigger variance. I want them to do what they do. I mean, they have the best players. And my other big problem is, you trade back and give me Todd Monken from a few years ago to have all this time to deal with put something together for Gunnar Stockton, I might be a little more confident.
Yeah,
Kipple's ahead of the curve on this one. No. I'll give him this because he's complained about Mike Bobo for 20 years, but I just don't have much faith in Mike Bobo to bring the best out of Gunnar Stockton and have him up there. I mean, I think Notre Dame's for real. They've covered, what, 9 straight games that they fly. And we totally saw the USC game different. I mean, to me, that flipped because Jaden Maiva threw 2 terrible pick sixes. I mean, that was the Notre Dame defense that won that game. I don't think Notre Dame was, are they really, was USC really going up and down the field on them? I mean, I think Notre Dame outgained them by like a yard per play. So I don't know. That's going to be a great game. I could see it going either way. A lot of variance. We agree on that. But it's just, it's hard for me to hitch my wagon on Mike Bobo, who outside of like a couple halves this year, I've been pretty underwhelmed in.
Well, I can't refute that point.
There you go.
I love it.
Tony, you haven't even mentioned, you haven't even mentioned this weekend our record. We went 11-4 on Saturday.
Nice.
6-2 on Sunday. So 17-6. Wow. Over the weekend, which improved us to 399 wins, 229 losses, and 21 pushes on the season.
Let me tell you what now, in the National Football League, this is where you really need to have your you-know-what together, too, because the lines are just, I mean, they're moving all over the place, and obviously you got some teams that want to play, some teams that don't want to play. It's amazing how often you see teams where they let you, you're thinking to yourself, okay, they win, they're in, and they'll lose. I mean, it's going to happen again. I'm just praying my Cincinnati Bengals can win out, maybe get an outside shot at maybe a playoff.
Just bet Detroit over their team total every game.
Yeah.
And you'd
be a winner chicken dinner. Hey, before we get into some of the Christmas NBA stuff, we'll do that towards the end of the show. Let's go ahead and run around the horn here and give us some of your best bowl games. Kip, we'll start with you.
I don't really like a whole lot this week in the other bowl, other bowl games. I do look at Pittsburgh and Toledo. Toledo has been the team that has been pretty competitive in recent years. I don't think this was a very good Toledo team. They kind of fell back more mid pack in the MAC. And Pittsburgh was celebrated just up till a couple of weeks ago. They were undefeated. And then hit the wall with a couple of bad losses, got blown out at SMU. Then Virginia went in there and beat them, which that's a bad loss. But I got to think Pittsburgh has a lot more pedigree than just a subpar Toledo team. Toledo's high mark this year was going to Stark Vegas and beating Mississippi State. But in MAC competition, they weren't very formidable. So I think the Panthers, and again, I don't even know who's the defectors and who's going to play in that game, but the line 6.5, I think Pittsburgh just better overall top to bottom than Toledo. And the other game is, because we're probably, even if we record on Friday morning, the Birmingham Bowl kicks off about 2:30 local time. We probably don't have time, so I want to get that in. Georgia Tech was playing as well as anybody down the stretch. They knocked Miami out of the playoffs. They took Georgia 8 overtimes, played a fantastic game. The team rallies around Haynes King he might be more significant to that team than any player in college football this year, because he is the heart and soul and blood and guts of that team. Vandy's had a great year. They've achieved their goal. They're 6-6. They're in a bowl game. But I just like how Georgia Tech's playing, and that game's just 2.5. And Brent Key is from Trustville, Alabama. He's a Birmingham guy. I think it's going to be important the players that he comes back to his hometown and makes a statement. The Yellow Jackets are an up and coming program. I like them over Vanderbilt.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that game up, because I love the fact that we have a bowl game here. A lot of people are like, that'll never last. It's been going on for 25 years. I remember seeing, what was the All American Bowl? I think it was in 1987.
Yeah, that's what they had before.
Yeah. I still have a ticket stub from like 1987 or 1988. I love the bowl games.
It was Vandy and Air Force also.
It sure was. And I'm liking Georgia Tech as well. I think Vanderbilt had just a great season, 6-6. I think anytime Vanderbilt can go to a bowl game, they get to take their tape off their glasses and they get to just not study for a couple hours up at Vanderbilt. They're too damn smart to win football games. I'm taking Georgia Tech all day long. I like K-State. The team total over as well as over 51 in the ball game. They've been putting up some big night points. And then I'm a guy I've been going with, Bill O'Brien, all year long. He's catching 2.5 Boston College against Nebraska. I just, every time I look at Nebraska, they're putting up an egg somewhere, but I'm going to take Boston College. Just 3 of the games that I like, and of course things can change as we go on. Case, what do you like?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've bet a lot of horse anyway, even though I'm going to say that. I'm kind of like Kip, though, and less excited than Kai. I really just like nothing. I find this bull season so tough, especially with, we talked about opt-outs and all that. But I feel like now it extends to the coaching staff. You used to have to have a handicap how much the teams wanted to be there. Now it's the coaching staff. Like, how are they splitting their pie towards, working towards next year, working in the portal, actually caring about this? So, it's sad because I feel like bowl season's really been my specialty. Even before I started taking this, super seriously 5 years ago, I did great on bowl season for 15 years. That being said, I still bet on a bunch of stuff. I agree with Kip on one. I did bet Pitt -6.5. I think I just bet that yesterday. I think this game's reminiscent of how a lot of bulls are now. You kind of wait for the initial first big move, and then you decide if you want to buy back on it or not. This opened 9.5 all the way down to 6.5 now. There's some rumblings that maybe Eli Holstein could return for Pitt. I mean, Toledo was just terrible down the stretch. I know, like Kip said, they had that huge win at Mississippi State, but to me, that doesn't even really age that well. I mean, how terrible was Mississippi State? I saw there's, prominent national reporter that I follow and think is a really good citizen was saying that SEC coaches were kind of went to the ultra vanilla playbook, that he had sources that they were like testing things out against Mississippi State. So I think this team was even worse than we realized. So I did bet Pitt -6.5. We match on the Kansas State game. I think right after I said the game's totally changed and bowl games are so different, I think this one's kind of like the classic Rutgers overachieved this year. I think don't have that great of a roster. Kansas State underachieved. They had a roster that should have competed for the Big 12 championship, but they could never really get it together. I like that kind of come into the middle after they've had several weeks to prepare. So I like K-State there. Only because this got to 3, I do disagree on the Birmingham Bowl. I bet Vandy +3. I just think this is pretty evenly matched, and I can't disagree that Georgia Tech's looked really good down the stretch of the season. But on the year as a whole, I mean, what if this game was played, a month ago? Vandy's probably laying like 6. Mm-hmm, yep. Vandy was so beat up by the end of the year. I mean, we all know how bad Pavio was limping, but it seemed like everyone was limping. I think they're going to be healthier now with a lot of time to get better. So not, a super strong play, but since it touched 3, I bet Vandy +3. Those are some of the more things coming up right now. I mean, tomorrow I like South Florida actually in the Hawaii Bowl. I know it's kind of a weird trip for them, and San Jose State goes there what every other year. So you do have to factor that in. But, I know people weren't watching San Jose State's play. I mean, they had the best receiver in the nation, hands down, this year, Nick Nash, who got absolutely robbed in the Bednarik Award. I'm never going to say a bad word about Travis Hunter because I was on him for the Heisman. I love it. But there's no way he should have won the receiver award. That's ridiculous. His Nick Nash's numbers were just through the roof. He opted out to prepare for the NFL draft. I don't blame him. San Jose State lost some other guys. I just think it's hard for a program like that only has so many game changers on the field. I don't even think they're playing their better quarterback. The kid they benched is in the portal. So I did end up taking a little bit of South Florida. Those are some of the ones I have coming up right here soon. South Florida, Pitt, Kansas State, and Vandy.
K4wins.com, K4wins, the number 4wins.com, K4wins.com. For all of our plays are free. Go to our website and check it out. It changes every single day as we update it. Kai, what is your plays here in the bowl season? I know you like some team totals all the time. Give us some good stuff, and then give us a couple of NBA plays for Christmas.
Well, one of the things I think that is kind of our job, on this is also to kind of give people the information that they need. Talking about, Nash being out for San Jose State tomorrow. The rest of San Jose State's receiving corps has 13 total touchdowns. That's how big a deal he is and has been to them. You're going to get a heavy dose on the run tomorrow because so many receivers from both teams are out. So you're going to get Joyner for USF and then Chalk for San Jose. And the total has gone from 60.5 to 63 now. And I don't see any way it goes over unless there's 2 or 3 turnovers by each team in those games. Your next game, your Toledo and Pitt game. Toledo has 2 starters out on both sides of the ball. Pitt, great defensive tackle. Johnson's out. And then wide receiver Reynolds, but everybody else is playing. Holstein is allegedly back. If at game time you turn it on and you see Holstein warming up, then you hammer Pitt in that game, in my opinion. K-State, I think, has some bigger losses to the NFL and the portal than Rutgers, but they're a whole lot better anyway, so they could afford more losses. Vandy and Georgia Tech that you talked about. I think a big thing is that Pyron for Georgia Tech is out. He's the one that has come in for them and made all the throws against Georgia. He was the quarterback that came in. He is their passing quarterback. Haynes King is going to run. I think that's a big deal in that game. I really like Vandy. I like Vandy over their team total. It has gone up to 24, and some places I'm seeing 24.5. You know, this game opened at 51.5 on the total. Now it's 54.5. Vandy's missing some defensive players. Georgia Tech is. I really like the over in that game. You know, Bowling Green, Arkansas State, some major changes. The total went from 50 to 50.5. Bowling Green's team total went from 28 to 30.5. Why? Because they're playing against Butch Jones, who sucks at the coach. We've said that forever. So you have to go that way.
No personal experience there.
Oklahoma opened at 9 originally. Then it was 4.5 3 days ago. Now it's 3. I love Navy's team total over 20. I know Navy has done nothing until they stood up and played Army. And, I mean, let's be honest, they played very well. I love that team total over for them. Oklahoma's going to be missing a ton of players offensively and defensively. You know, and then you've got probably the last one that will end up happening before we start. I mean, look at some of the stuff with Texas Tech and Arkansas, not to bore people, but how many people – Arkansas is going to have 6 scholarship offensive linemen available for this game. That's it. They're missing 4 of their 5 starters. 3 of the guys have not played a down this year for their line, yet they're a 1.5-point favorite. The total's gone from 52 to 54.5. Texas offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator are gone. They're starting quarterback. You know, they're going to start a freshman at quarterback. So what do you do? These are things you have to look at. And then, you know, Syracuse and Washington State. Nobody's lost more than Washington State. You know, their coach, their offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, quarterback coach. Yeah, 16 starters out for Washington State. That line opened at 4 or at 11. It's up to 16.5. I love, absolutely love Syracuse in that game. I like them a lot better when I bet them at 14, though.
All right, let's go to Christmas Day. What do you got in the NBA?
You know, we got 5 games, and they're all good games. One road dog, the Denver Nuggets -1.5 at the Suns. But, you know, the one I'm looking at, and it's probably some bias on my part because my son is a big Golden State fan. He loves Steph Curry playing the Lakers. The Warriors are -3.5. After losing to Memphis by 50 the other night and what's possibly one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen the team play, you've got to look at that. Philly, Boston, the thing for everybody to do is wake up on Christmas morning whenever you're going to turn the NBA games on and see who's actually playing in these games, because they're, you know, I don't know if Embiid's actually going to play for Philly against Boston. Boston -9.5 in that game. Minnesota's at Dallas. Dallas -2.5. Luka's supposed to be back. If Luka's back, I that's my bet of the day. Dallas -2 right there.
All right, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Check it out and call it. Check it out every single day. We'll do another show coming up on Friday morning as we get ready for 5 more bowl games on December 27th. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.